Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Hey, are you looking to expand and grow your business? Are you looking for that edge, that next step up, that paradigm shift? Well, one of the best ways to get you there is through a mentor or a coach. And today's sponsor, Trevor McGregor, he is the man. He's going to get you to be laser focused, to get you onto that next level. And I know from experience dealing with Trevor, he is a master coach, peak performance coach, well over 10,000 coaching hours through clients all over the world. And he helps you achieve better health, more wealth and freedom and contribution than you ever thought possible. Have that coach that holds your feet to the fire. Go on to Trevor's website, coachwithtrevor.com. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. And there you can get a free strategy session with Trevor. And you can decide if he's the right fit for you and you're the right fit for him. Again, it's coachwithtrevor.com. You will not be disappointed. Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer, and I'm excited for another great episode. With me today is Marco Santarelli. Marco, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. Appreciate you coming on the show. A little bit about Marco. He's an investor, author, and founder of Narada Real Estate Investments. They are a nationwide provider of turnkey cash flow rental properties. And since 2004, they've helped over 1,000 real estate investors create wealth and passive income through real estate. He's also the host of the Passive Real Estate Investing Podcast. So with that being said, Marco, can you tell us a little bit more about you and what your company is doing? Pretty impressive, 1,000 real estate investors. So tell us a little bit more what you got going on.
Sure. Well, Todd, thank you for allowing me to be on your show here. I to tell you a little bit about how I got involved in this business. I back in 2003, I had taken about 2 years off. I was involved in a dot-com business. I was one of the co-founders. And unfortunately, when the NASDAQ crashed in 2001, all our venture capital funding dried up. And because we had a burn rate of about $1,000 a month, we couldn't sustain the business. So unfortunately, we had to lay off over 100 employees and wind the business down. So I didn't want to rush into anything. I've always been entrepreneurial, and I knew that I didn't want to go back into the corporate world. And so I've always loved real estate. And I actually started investing in real estate when I was 18 years old. So I took some time off. And then in the middle of 2003, as real estate markets were heating up all around the country, I got an email from someone who you might be familiar with, and maybe a lot of your listeners are. There's an author, his name is Robert Allen, Robert G. Allen. He's written many books like, Nothing Down. And there's actually a slew of them on my bookshelf here next to me. So I get this email just out of the blue. I don't even know how they got my email address. And I decided to go to this free seminar. It was like a 2 or 3 day seminar in September. Long story short, I attended this event. There was about 2,000 people in the ballroom. It was a massive event. They had a great speaker. He kept you riveted to your seat. He was just engaging. The content was rich, and there was a lot of it. And so, me, like many other people, whipped out our credit cards and ran to the back of the room and started purchasing these boot camps. Interestingly enough, I knew a lot of what they were teaching on these boot camps, but the best thing that happened to me in this whole process was investors were coming to me when I started investing in late 2003 and early 2004, and I was buying a lot of property very, very quickly. And they were coming to me saying, "Hey, Marco, where are you finding these deals? How are you negotiating them? What are you looking for? Can you help me negotiate? Can you coach me?" I mean, they were asking all these questions. So it was really funny because they were spending tens of thousands of dollars getting education. And at the end of the day, they weren't pulling the trigger. And I just couldn't believe it. But that's when the light bulb moment went off. And I realized, okay, there's a lot of investors out there. They all want to invest in real estate. They are happily paying for education, but many of them just don't know how to take it to the next level or take that next step. And so I wanted to create what we call a turnkey solution today, but back then that word wasn't even used. And I marketed the heck out of that term, by the way. Now everybody uses turnkey real estate. So if that's how Norada Real Estate Investments was born, you know, just out of sheer need and identifying an opportunity.
Okay. So that was prior to, that was 2004, you said.
That was in 2003. The boot camp started at the end of 2003, and that's when I jumped in and also started, I started buying heavily in January of 2004. In fact, over the course of about a year, less than 2 years, but about a year, I had acquired 84 units.
So 84 units, are those mostly single families or what kind of units?
They were mostly single family, and there were three small apartments.
And where were those located?
They were in Florida, Georgia, and Michigan.
Okay.
Those are the three markets I focused on at the time. I also had a couple properties in California, but as you know, we can discuss if you want on this program, the numbers didn't make sense back then, and they certainly don't make sense today.
So were you living in California at the time then?
Yeah, I've always lived here.
Okay. So you're living in California, you're investing in Florida and Georgia and Michigan. So why those markets, and you know, how did you buy properties there successfully?
That's a really big question, which we could spend an entire episode on. The reason I chose those markets was twofold. One, there were opportunities there that I was aware of and that were presented to me. So I was able to get some deal flow right from the get-go.
Okay.
Second, the numbers were attractive. The for the most part, the what we call a rent-to-value ratio was at least 1% or above. And that's important to me because as a company, we target properties that have a 1% rent to value ratio. And if your listeners are not, you know, understanding what I'm saying, it's essentially this: you take a $100,000 property, if it rents for $1,000 a month, that's a 1% RV ratio. The higher that number, the better, because you're going to find that your cash on cash return is higher, your cash flow is higher. And so that's attractive. It still makes sense if you go down to 0.7, you know, 0.8. But at that point, there's just so many other options you can choose from. It doesn't really make sense to pursue that. So Georgia, Florida, and Michigan were presenting deal flow where the numbers made sense. The properties were, most of them, these were where I made some mistakes, but most of the properties, you know, were in good condition. They were tenant occupied, not necessarily managed by management. That was a piece I had to fill in. But I just like the markets and the opportunities. So that's where I started. And then, you know, I eventually branched out, but those are the markets.
Okay. So take me through kind of the progression then of that business, from when you started to, I guess really what it looks like today, and how have you scaled it, and how have you grown that business?
So the first two markets that we took on as a company, only because I was there regularly, were Detroit, Michigan, and the suburbs, and Southwest Florida, which, as you might remember or you might know, eventually when the housing market crashed in 07, 08, Southwest Florida was one of those markets that was considered ground zero for all the foreclosures. You know, you were talking Lehigh Acres, Cape Coral, what's the other market there? Fort Myers. It's all around Fort Myers. Yeah. So, but we were at the time, we're buying new construction homes with very little down. I mean, the financing was so loose that you could buy properties for as little as $5,000 out of pocket. And so that was what helped me acquire such a large portfolio so quickly, is that money was loose. You could fog a mirror and get a loan. So it was pretty easy. But those are the two markets we started with, and investors were happily looking for deals in those markets. And so I was finding them and putting them together, and much like a wholesaler, I was wholesaling it to the buyer. But I flipped the model very quickly. I realized that it made more sense for me to structure the company more like a brokerage, but a full service brokerage where we were actually providing lots of value add, consultation, market information, neighborhood information, property information, those properties then became completely rehabbed. If they're not new construction, they became completely rehab properties. Tenants in place, management in place, literally step-by-step checkbox system where we take an investor and they follow through a process with us. So that's how it morphed over the course of that first year. And for the most part, it's the same today as it was back then. You know, it's still a very well-structured network of value-added services that we provide at no charge.
Okay, so you're like a some of the other turnkey investor investment companies. So you're taking the property, you're finding a good deal, adding that value to it and selling it likely under market value to your investor. And then you're handling it from there. Is that right? You're handling the management, handling the construction, all of that.
For the most part, you're correct. The okay. Two things that I would say are different than what you just said is first the property management. Property management is a very localized task. We do not want to get involved in the management. We would rather work on two or three professional full service property management companies in each and every market that handle everything from soup to nuts. And we built a relationship with them, and then we let our clients build that relationship. Okay. If we like them, great, we keep them. If we don't like them, we fire them. And as you probably are aware that, you know, management is a thankless job, so we don't really want to be doing the management, nor do we want our clients doing the management. I'd rather have them, you know, stick to finding more deals.
So you are basically doing everything other than the management, but you're finding solid professional management companies in those markets to be able to essentially hand the properties off with, so your clients are taken care of when they do purchase that property. If they do want to use a third party, I suppose they could manage their own properties themselves as well.
That's true. 99% of the clients will use the management companies that are tied to the properties they're purchasing. So that, sure, that usually never changes. So within our network, we essentially have everything they need. And this is part of our definition of turnkey real estate investing. It's basically a hassle-free investment where we have the properties, the management, the tenants are in place, the properties have no deferred maintenance. The title companies are there. We have a pool of various lenders to choose from. The inspectors are there. Frankly, there's very little, if anything, an investor would need outside of our network. Everything is here. However, they are free to choose and use whoever else they want as part of that process.
What about on the sales end? If they buy a property and let's say they have it for a couple of years or a year and they want to get out, do you guys have any process on that, or they list it on their own? How does that work?
Sure. If it's pretty rare that they want to sell, because normally what happens is they're going to keep it forever. If they do want to sell it, often they're going to do a 1031 exchange, which is a tax deferred exchange where they take the equity and move it into other properties. And that's usually in a different market, geographically different than where they're selling it. But often it becomes part of their estate and they just pass it on to their, you know, their family, their heirs. But if they do want to sell it, they have two low-hanging fruit options. One is we can help them resell it, and as long as it's in good condition or similar condition to when they bought it, because we don't want our other clients purchasing someone else's problem. So as long as the maintenance was kept up, then you know they have a good property to purchase. Sure. The other is they can sell it on their own, and thirdly, they can use a local agent if they have one to sell it locally, especially if you want to sell it on the retail market instead of trying to sell it to another real estate investor.
Okay. Yeah. So you're giving them a lot of options, but your investors, so you have other investors that potentially would just buy their property right from them to continue it down.
Yeah, we do. It doesn't happen often, but yes, sure. It has happened.
Okay. Okay. What markets are you in today?
So we're in more markets than I want to be honest with you. Okay. We're in Kansas City, Indianapolis, Dallas, Houston, San Antonio, Birmingham, Alabama, Huntsville. There's one, Montgomery, Memphis, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, Chicago, Illinois, When I say Chicago, it's not in the city, it's the greater suburbs, just because there's better deals to be found there. Those are the markets. Believe it or not, we're actually in one market in Idaho, but these are large new construction fourplexes that are in A-class neighborhoods.
Hmm.
So, Idaho is actually an interesting market. It's new on our radar, but there's a lot of growth going on there. So that's about 16 markets. And so they can change from year to year, just as the economics, the fundamentals change in those markets and migration patterns change, or the housing market becomes unaffordable. Then a prudent investor would, you know, question that market. And if it doesn't make sense, it goes from green to yellow, maybe to red, and you exit that market. So this is where the strategy comes in real estate investing. And that's one of the ways to ensure that you are successful and you maximize your returns while you minimize the risk. And so that's one of the things we help clients with, not necessarily in the beginning because they're building their portfolio, but as they build that portfolio, then the discussions come up. Well, you know, what do we do? Where do we reposition equity? Do we equity strip, or do we take that equity and 1031 exchange it into another market where the returns are higher and we can actually build the portfolio larger just from the equity that you've built up in a particular market?
Okay, that's so you're maintaining relationships with the investors even after you find the properties. You're continuing to help them along the way, make decisions on future investments, on their current investment. It sounds like you're pretty hands-on with these investors.
Yeah, we want to keep that relationship going. While they're purchasing, we're involved, you know, on a very regular basis.
Yep.
But after they're done purchasing properties, we just stay in touch with them via email, and, you know, they can call us anytime they want. Of course, you know, we're always there to answer questions and guide them along. Maybe they need a reference or referral to some, you know, some other company, who knows, whatever it is, but we're always here to answer questions. Plus, we continually reach out to them in a one-to-many format through our newsletter and our podcast. So they're hearing from us, you know, just because we're there in front of their face one way or another.
Perfect. All right. Well, Marco, I appreciate you telling us about your background. So let's talk about, let's transition, talk about what's one of your biggest mistakes you've made? How have you overcome that?
We all make mistakes, obviously. And the smart thing to do is learn from your mistakes, pick yourself up, brush yourself off, and move on. One or two mistakes. I mean, this might sound almost obvious, but my very first property that I purchased when I was 18 years old, it was an end unit townhome. I purchased it for, I'm guessing, about $40,000. That was many, many years ago, so I don't remember the exact numbers. But being maybe myopic and foolish at the time, I held it for a number of years after buying it, renovating it, and leasing it out, managing it myself. And the whole transaction was pretty much textbook. The mistake I made is I actually sold it, you know, and I made a nice profit. You know, I got this big chunk of cash in my pocket, and you know, stupidly, I didn't invest it, or not at least all of it. But you know, that just goes to show that you should keep your real estate forever. I mean, yes, you can do a 1031 exchange, and that's all well and fine. But you know, that $40,000 property is probably worth closer to $400,000 today. And so, I mean, that's a huge capital gain, and I could have taken that equity and redeployed it into more property, and you know, leveraged up my portfolio and increased my passive income. But, you know, I wasn't thinking that way back then. So, you know, lesson learned. The lesson is buy and hold and never sell. There's never a reason to sell unless, you know, you're desperate because of a family emergency or whatever the case may be. If I was to throw a second one in there is really buying in the wrong neighborhoods. When you invest in real estate, it's very important to understand not just the market as a whole, the macroeconomic, you know, perspective, but look at, where's the property located? Because you cannot separate the property from the neighborhood. They're joined at the hip. And so if you purchase in an area where you don't agree with the demographics, they don't fit your investment profile, your character, or your investment criteria, then you're making a mistake. So always consider the neighborhood. In fact, my sixth rule of investing in real estate, or successful real estate investing, would be, you know, take a top-down approach. Start with the market first. Then look at the neighborhoods, the submarkets actually, then the neighborhoods, and then you start choosing the properties. If you do it that way, then you've covered all your bases and you minimize your risk. And of course you maximize your upside potential.
Yeah. I mean, fantastic points. I would say as far as I go, those are some of my mistakes as well. I mean, you know, you're sitting there going, you sell a property because you see in the end the profit on it, you sell it, and then you look back and you go, boy, I wish I would have kept that property. I've got several of them. I'm the same way. I just wish I would have kept them, but, you know, I sell them. And then same thing. I mean, buying in the wrong neighborhood can cause trouble. And it just, as good as it looks on paper, if that's an area that you don't feel comfortable managing, or, you know, it's, you're just not going to have success managing, numbers on paper mean only so much, and real life is what really matters, what you can actually make.
Lesson learned, but at least you learn from it. Now you don't make that same mistake and you can move on. You're a more intelligent investor.
Yep. Absolutely. Great points. And I like the point that you actually made too on choosing the market, then choosing the neighborhood, you know, or choosing the sub-market, then choosing the neighborhood. Because I think what a lot of people do is they see, again, they see the number on paper. They see, oh, this is a 10 cap or an 8 cap or whatever it is, really good returns, and I'm going to just buy it. They look at the property first and not the market first, where how you said it is you got to look at the market first, then the sub, and then the neighborhood, and then worry about the property last. So I really like that advice. Fantastic.
Yeah. Common mistake, actually, to be mesmerized by the numbers on paper of a property. And even if it's a beautifully renovated property, good curb appeal, numbers look great on paper. Foreign investors, Chinese and otherwise, make this mistake, or have made this mistake many times in the past, where they're buying property based solely on the curb appeal, the condition, and the paper returns. But then they don't step back and look at the forest, you know, in spite of the trees, to see that, oh my God, it's in a blighted neighborhood. There's, you know, burned out houses. I've seen this happen in Detroit. You know, there are neighborhoods where you have one or two. It's like a toothless person with, you know, with two teeth. You know, you have these two great properties and the whole street is blank. It's vacant. It's they're burnouts. I've seen it, you know, so it happens.
Yeah. So you've ran a pretty successful business. Give us some advice on, you know, how do you operate a business successfully? Just, you know, generic, basic, you know, how do we actually do it?
Generically speaking, you need to be crystal clear on what it is you're selling. And it's not just the product or service, but what are the benefits that you're actually selling, who your avatar is. In other words, who are you actually talking to? Who are you speaking to? Who's your audience? What is it they want to hear? Don't tell them what you think you want them to hear. Find out what they want to hear and make sure that that's what you're delivering. And most importantly, be clear on why you're in business, like why your business exists. Like Simon Sinek, who wrote the book Start With Why, made this point very clear. And if your listeners haven't read the book, it's an awesome read. I've read the book twice and I've watched his videos multiple times. You know, every business understands what they sell and they understand how they sell it, but they don't understand what's at the middle of that bullseye, and it's the why. And most organizations miss that. Apple's fantastic at this. They always start with why. You know, we think differently. We're a different company. This is what we believe. And oh, by the way, we have fantastic computers and this is how we build them. So they start from the why, whereas everyone else starts with the what and the how.
Yeah. Fantastic. What's one of your best investments? What's one of your best business success stories?
Best business success stories. Business-wise, I'm a control freak, so it's hard for me to let go of tasks, you know, and it took me a long time to actually hire an assistant, but it was liberating. So anybody who's in that, one of my friends actually owns the largest company in the Philippines that has virtual assistants for real estate investors or real estate people. Hmm. And any, I think he's got 1,500 virtual assistants that work for him.
Wow.
So yeah, so I've got two VAs and plus an executive assistant. So finding out what you need to delegate and actually delegating that is not only liberating, but allows you to be more productive because you can focus on building the business and the visionary components, and then the day-to-day operational and tactical stuff you can give to other people.
Yep. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I'm the same way. I like to have my hands on it. I'd like to control it. And sure. It took me a lot to just finally go, okay, I got to hire some people. So Marco, now that you've got your VAs and got, you said an executive assistant, what's your company's, what's the next step? What are you going to be doing in, let's say 10 years, where's Narada going to be?
10 years is really far out there.
It is.
My more immediate goal, which is probably the same as the 10-year goal, is to build our company, Narada Real Estate Investments, into the largest provider of turnkey rental properties in the United States. And we're on pace to do that. You know, we're moving a good amount of volume right now, and I'm hiring more people. And so that's my business goal, is to be within 5 years, actually. And I'll probably achieve it in 3, but to be the largest provider of a nationwide provider of turnkey rental properties. So it's a lofty goal, but I know it's achievable and I'm going to do it.
Fantastic. I like the attitude too. Yeah. Tell me now, how are you finding, it's a pretty hot market right now in most parts of the country. How are you finding your properties? What's the secret sauce?
Well, we are acquiring our own inventory in a few markets that we operate in, where we are acquiring, scoping, renovating, and then, you know, turning it over to property management. So they're leased and they're under full service management. And that's what we're selling as a turnkey product to our clients. But in the other markets where we don't actually have those operations, we have partnered with new home builders and long-term relationships or companies that are providing that type of inventory for us. And so, I'm sorry, your question is about scaling that, or?
No, I was just wondering how you're finding the deals. So that answers it, yeah.
So I guess the short answer to that is really to define clearly a criteria of what it is we want to sell. Again, you know, knowing your product, knowing your client, and understanding what they want. So we have a criteria, and that's what we offer our clients. And you know, that's usually properties that are typically $80,000 to $150,000 when we're talking about single family detached homes. We try and shoot for that 1% rule, that rent to value ratio of 1%. Today we're seeing a lot of 0.9, maybe even 0.8, just because a lot of markets have appreciated a little too quickly. Yeah. They're still good deals. They're just, you know, not exactly what they were 3 years ago.
Okay. Not quite as much meat on the bones now.
I'll just say this, the returns, the cap rate and the cash on cash returns have been compressed. There's still growth and, you know, appreciation potential. All that stuff is still there. It's just what used to be, let's say, a 9-cap property is now, let's say, an 8 or maybe a 7-cap property.
Yeah. Okay. I asked you for a mistake before. Give us one big success story that you've had, or, you know, a secret to your success, basically. A success story.
On the real estate investing side?
Real estate investing, business, whatever you want to talk about.
Real estate success story. Well, I mean, off the top of my head, I was able to purchase before the housing market correction of 07, a small apartment building with nothing out of pocket. So it was effectively zero down. In fact, I got money back at closing. So you can't do that today. Without creative financing or seller financing, it's hard to do. Yeah. But back then you were able to get financing up to 100%. But in this particular case, the property appraised for well above the purchase price. So what we did is we ended up purchasing the property for more than what the seller wanted it appraised. And we just structured it where we were getting a, can't remember how we worded it, but essentially a maintenance concession or repair concession at the close of escrow. So essentially I got my down payment money back.
Nice.
So I was into it for zero down.
Do you still have that property or have you sold it?
I ended up selling it around the housing market correction just because I was having, this goes back to the neighborhood thing. It wasn't in the best of neighborhoods. And when the economy got pretty tough for a lot of people and you know, jobs were a little harder to find, I found that my vacancy rates were going up considerably.
Yeah.
And it was hard. The turnover was a little too much for my liking. It was more of a stressful situation. And I thought, well, this is not really where I want to be. And so I got rid of all of my low end property.
So. Okay. So now you're running a successful turnkey property or investment company. You're going to be the largest in the nation in 3 to 5 years. And so what would you, if anything, have done differently with this whole process to be more successful, set yourself up better?
This is going to be kind of a weird answer to your question, but I probably would have started podcasting sooner. Okay. I was really late into the game. I've only been podcasting for 2 years. And I have found that it has been a great tool for educating our clients. You know, we don't charge for it. We provide a lot of valuable content. And it's quality content. And we find that when investors who call us and become our clients have listened to some of our podcast episodes and of course reading our blog articles as well, they're far more knowledgeable and they ask more intelligent questions because now they've built a foundation and understanding in their head where they understand how to identify markets and how to identify investment properties, how to analyze them. So we're not going through the newbie questions all the time. It's been a powerful tool to get good information into the heads of people who are wanting to reach out and achieve financial freedom.
So it not only probably provides you with some additional investors that want to buy your properties because they've heard you and they hear the knowledge that you have and what you're doing, but it also provides them with knowledge. So they're coming in with a better understanding of what's going on and how to achieve their goals.
Yeah, that's a great byproduct of it is that investors realize that you know what you're talking about, and so now you know they're more inclined and more interested in talking to you and having a conversation to see if and how you can help them. So so that just goes hand in hand, but it's really a great tool because it's a one to many tool where you can educate a large number of people with one message, and hit a large number of people with it.
Okay. What are some essential people that have gotten you to where you're at or helped you along the way?
Well, you know, Robert Kiyosaki talks about real estate investing as a team sport, and it's very true. You know, you do need quality people along for the ride, and you know, ideally, you want them to be smarter than you. So. Yeah. You know, if you surround yourself with smart people, then really you're the smart one because now you can achieve greater things because you have everybody else's knowledge and experience. So everybody on that team, you know, in terms of mortgage brokers, attorneys, people who are in this space, you know, networking with the right people, being involved in masterminds that, you know, that have successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors that can help you solve problems and get to the next level or next step in your business. So those are the types of people you want to surround yourself with, talk with, deal with, network with, and that will help you build your business and your real estate portfolio.
Cool. Absolutely. Yeah. I think it was Henry Ford that had the, he wasn't the smartest man, but had the largest team around him.
Yeah.
And we all know that there was a little bit of success there that followed him. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely right.
Yeah. So I got a couple last questions before we end. One is, what's your favorite book, business or real estate, whatever ties to whatever you want to talk about?
Well, my answer to this is like an attorney, it depends. So if you're new to real estate investing, or even if you're not that new, but you know, you want to have a good mindset change, if that's what you want to call it. One of the greatest starting books, and I know you've heard this probably a zillion times, is Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. You know, it's such a great book, and it really it's still amazing today how many people still think that, you know, their home is an asset, and that the harder they work, the more they'll make. But really, you know, the rich don't work for money. They make money work for them. So understanding these very basic, well, what we see as basic concepts in terms of financial education are critically important. So that's a great book for everybody, but especially if you're just getting started. I think at any stage of the game, Gary Keller's book, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, is another great book too. It covers a lot of breadth. It doesn't really go into a lot of depth in any one particular thing, but he does talk about certain things, you know, quite well. And that's a fantastic book. I really enjoyed that read. And then, you know, beyond that, again, no matter what level you're at, is just the entire Rich Dad series. And I mentioned Rich Dad a couple times here only because his financial philosophy, his investment philosophy, his investment strategies, they all are in alignment with me and our company. You know, we see eye to eye, we're on the same page. And so we all believe in getting out of the rat race and creating passive income and all that good stuff. So those books are really just more than foundational. They're essential reads.
Yeah, I agree. And I think the Rich Dad Poor Dad is a great book for, you know, it does that paradigm shift for you. If you aren't thinking that way, it's such a simple, easy read, and it's not, you know, he just lays things out so easy. It's not like you have to think hard when you're reading his book, or you get confused as you're reading. It's just, this is bam, bam, bam. And he talks about it and he relates stories to it. And so I agree. That's a solid, very solid book. I do like his, pretty much all his books.
Right. So, they're all good books.
So what's your definition to the secret of financial freedom for you?
A person's ability to convert their earned income into passive income is really the secret to financial freedom. And that would include savings too. You don't want to save for the sake of saving. You know, it's good to have emergency cash and a reserve.
Yep.
But the faster you can accumulate your investable capital, call it savings if you want, but the faster you can accumulate your investable capital and deploy it into income producing investments like rental real estate, the sooner you will achieve financial freedom. You will build up your passive income, you'll build up your net worth, and you'll get to a point where you can sustain your existing lifestyle or improve your existing lifestyle, because now you have true financial freedom, and that leads to time freedom and everything else.
Yeah, great. Yeah, and I think that's important what you said there about maintaining or even improving your existing lifestyle. I think a lot of people are trying to retire and downsize and think that, what do I need to just get by? And how you said it, it's not just what I need to get by, is how do I maintain what I have and even improve upon what I have. And through what you're saying with investing, you know, in passive assets, you can achieve that.
Right. Exactly.
So Marco, how do people get a hold of you? How can they learn more about Narada and about your podcast and kind of about what you're doing?
Well, everything's on our websites, and there's two of them. The website for Norada Real Estate is, of course, the domain name is the same, noradarealestate.com, but you can get there easier by a simpler domain name, which is turnkeyrealestateinvesting.com. Either one work. And then our podcast has a different home. It's actually on the passiverealestateinvesting.com website. So either one will get you to our information, and they both link to each other there.
Okay, perfect. And we'll put that in the show notes so everybody can see it. And well, Marco, I appreciate you taking the time and telling us about your business, about Narada, and your philosophies, and just packed full of a lot of great information. So thanks for the time that you've given us, and have a great rest of the day.
Yeah, I appreciate you inviting me on, Todd. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Hey, I appreciate Marco being on the show and sharing his valuable insights. And I got the three key takeaways that I took from the show. One is, know your market, or and choose your market first. So choose your market, choose your submarket, and then choose the property, or then choose where, you know, your investment. So many people look at, what it looks like on paper. You know, I'm just going to search the internet, or I'm going to search LoopNet, or I'm going to search whatever, search Craigslist for a business opportunity. I'm going to pick that because it looks great on paper. And then I'm just going to go for it, because obviously paper can't lie, right? But that's the biggest mistake people make, is they don't look at what that actual market is, and can that market give you success? Can that sub-market give you success? You know, so you've got to look at the whole picture, and going from the market down is going to give you a lot more success than looking at the numbers first. The next thing is he talks about be clear about your why. And I think that's really important. I hear it over and over from podcasters and from other people, is know what your why is, and know why you're doing your business and what you're doing in your business. And that's going to help lead you to more success. And then the last thing is, letting go of all the duties and all the tasks that you have, and be able to get other people to help you along the way. It's a team sport. So the more you can let go of, the better you're going to be, and the more successful your business is going to be. So make sure you let go, even though you maybe are like Marco and like me, kind of a control freak, and want that and feel like you need that control to be successful, when in reality you actually are hurting yourself. So I appreciate Marco being on the show. Check out his podcast, the passiverealestateinvestor.com, and then go to his turnkey Narada Real Estate. Go to his turnkey site. It's called turnkeyrealestateinvesting.com or NaradaRealEstate.com, either of one of those. And have a conversation with Marco and get to know him. Thanks for joining me. And again, make every day a Saturday.
Are you on track to achieve your financial goals? Income-producing real estate is the most historically proven way to accumulate wealth and has created more financial freedom than any other means. Narada Real Estate provides everything you need to invest in the best turnkey cash flow rental properties. Our simple proven system will help you create real wealth and passive monthly income. Get your free strategy session with our knowledgeable investment counselors at NaradaRealEstate.com. That's NORADA realestate.com.